David's legacy of heroic faith. Now, David is called a man after God's heart. I think the only one in the Bible that I know of that peculiar expression is used. David is called a man after God's heart. And what made him have this heart of heroic faith? And what lessons can we learn from David that can move us toward having that kind of faith? So we're going to look at some more lessons of heroic faith. Now, by this time, David had come to his place of rest, Jerusalem, a name which means city of peace. God had established him as king over this great nation, arguably the greatest nation through history on earth, the nation that had God's eye upon it. He began to think about, what can I do in return for God, in return for what he has done for me? And so he said, here am I, living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent. So there was a purpose expressed in this desire that David had in his heart to return the favor to God, as it were, for what God had done for him. Now there was a motivation for that purpose expressed. God's glory and worship. We can read it here in the words of 2 Samuel chapter 7, how God had given him rest from his enemies. And he began to think about, what can I do for God? He was in a tent. Now, I think the tent was in Shiloh at this time. But whether David was in Shiloh, he's certainly thinking about this place, the tabernacle. Really, the tabernacle that came from the wilderness, same structure there, very temporary. Maybe not as temporary as our lanai out there that blew away. But it was that type of structure. It was not intended to be a temple. And so he began to think about how here I am in a palace of cedar, a beautiful home, a beautiful city, and God is dwelling in this very temporary, rude structure. And he began to be motivated, thinking about that. I think, again, it shows this heroic faith that we're speaking of, that his heart was touched for the things of God, and how God is a very humble God, and how he is, even though he must be glorified because he is God, he does not crave that kind of hero worship that we often give to people of this world. Even, and God is not a people, of course. He is God. So David was motivated to do something for God. He realized that his life was incomplete at this point, and so he wanted to do more for the Lord. And there was a dedication involved in that. In that purpose that he expressed, he was willing to spend for God's glory. In other words, he recognized that all that he had came from God. And he wanted to do more with what God had given him. And I think he would have said, no price is too great to give to the back to the one who has done so much for me. I think it's what the Bible describes as a cheerful giver, that we give to God because of the wonderful things that he has done for us. Just the fact that we are here today. Just the fact that we are not in hell, where I believe we all really deserve to be. I know I do. So God has done some wonderful things in our lives. If we will learn from David's example here to express this purpose to the Lord, a motivation, a dedication, an education. Here's Nathan the prophet coming to David. Nathan said to David that you are not the one. Now, this was after God talked to him, I guess, in the night after he left David, David who was probably in the tabernacle. And he told him to go back to David and tell him, you are not the one to build that temple. And informed him through God's word that his son, whom we later learned was, of course, Solomon, would build that temple. And it suggests to me that God has particular tasks for each of us to do. And we need to find what that is, because it's not something that God wants to keep a secret from us. I believe it's what the New Testament describes as that spiritual gift that God has given us that makes us mesh together in this family of faith where He has put us. Be a part, a member of that body of Christ, that spiritual body which the church is, the body of Christ. And to not be like Saul. Saul, who was the predecessor of David, who took upon himself this calling that God had only given to the priests. And he decided, well, I'm not satisfied just being king. I'm going to be the priest and I'm going to be everything. And he intruded in this area where God had not called him. And so David, to his credit, accepted this word as from the Lord. A promise exchanged. There is a purpose expressed and a promise exchanged here in this passage of Scripture. I talked about, and I believe the Scripture bears this out, that here is a something that David wanted to do for God, but God said, I'm going to do this for you. David really didn't get to build the temple. I think it was one of his great disappointments, frankly, in his life. Because he wanted to do this. He wanted to do this for God. But here's what God said through Nathan. He said, go and tell my servant David, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. So there's a promise exchange that I want us to think about this for a few moments. A promise exchanged regarding a heart. Now David had a heart for God. God says, I have found a man after my own heart. And it leads me to ask, am I after the heart of God? Is God's heart responding to that heart that I have for Him? If you have a heart like David, then God wants to do for you, I believe, what He wanted to do for David. To give you a house. Now, I'm not talking about a physical house in this life, but a legacy, if you will. A family of faith. Now, you don't necessarily have to have biological children to have a family. We know that. I was thinking earlier about my dad, who's with the Lord. I always get kind of sad on Father's Day because of kind of missing my dad. I don't really have an earthly dad to call today. But I do have some fathers in the faith. We have a man, he and his wife kind of adopted us when we were just a young couple. Actually, I knew them before Marlene. And then when Marlene came along, they adopted her too. You can be a father in the faith. But be that father like David here, to have that heart for God and that desire to build up God's house. How do we do that? Through the household of faith, bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ, bringing them into that family of faith. God says, I'm going to build you a house. And that house was an eternal house. Now, I don't think he necessarily meant that it was of this world even. I believe the same promise is to you and me. If we will be fathers in the faith, bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if you don't have a biological family, you can still be a father in the faith. So there's a heart, there's a house, there's a heritage here. David was living not for his own life only, but to leave a lasting heritage. And what kind of heritage are we leaving for those who will come after us? That's question I want to ask you dads as well as myself. Are we leaving that godly heritage? Are we praying for our children, for our family members? Are we seeking to live the godly example as a father, a father of faith, with heroic faith like David? Then God says, I believe the promise is to us as well, that He will build us a house, a household of faith, and to have that eternal, lasting heritage of those that we have brought in to that new birth relationship with Jesus Christ and into the family of faith, which is an eternal family. So I'm sorry I got these out of order again, but a purpose expressed, a promise exchanged, and then a praise. I want to say exalted. I got the wrong word there, but praise exalted or exalting. In other words, David lifted up praise when he thought about what God had said through Nathan the prophet. He said, who am I, O sovereign Lord? He went in and sat before the Lord. I can just picture David there, can't you? In that tabernacle. Now, he probably didn't have pews. They probably didn't have pews to sit on. So, what did he sit on? Probably the hard floor. So just imagine that. He sat on the, probably cross-legged on the floor of the tabernacle. And he said, "Who am I, O Sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far?" And we can just feel the sincerity here of David's prayer. Now, you cannot be saved by sincerity alone, but you certainly cannot be saved without sincerity. It wasn't just a sham with David. It wasn't just a show, well, you know, I'm going to go to church today because it's expected of me. After all, I'm the king. I mean, you know, we could get to think that way, as I think men especially may be more prone to that, maybe frankly a duplicity, a hypocrisy even. But we don't find that in David here. We find sincerity and humility. David sat before the Lord, not again in a comfortable pew such as you are sitting in this morning. It's probably not that comfortable, but compared to sitting on a hard floor, this expressed humility that David did that. The heart that is bowed before God is the heart that God looks upon as one that is seeking after Him. And we find that in David, a sincerity, a humility, and I'm not sure this is a word, but emotivity, emotion, sticking with the ITYs there, but emotion, if you want to say that. There must be emotion in our worship. Now, emotion can be shallow, it can be insincere, but I'm sure that there were tears as David spoke these words. Now, you've read Psalm 23 and some of the other very beautiful prose that David has written. And you may read this and think, well, this doesn't really sound like something that David probably sang to the Lord. It doesn't sound very poetical. I think it was because it was so maybe in between the tears and the emotion that he felt, what God had done for him. His words did not flow like the many psalms that came from his pen, because he was filled with emotion. I think we've probably all written poetry at one time. I wrote some rather silly poetry when I was a junior high boy in school. It's not fit to publish or to even share, but as I grew older and I began to understand, you know, what real love was, I'm not sure that I fully understand that yet as I ought to understand. But I began to write these words of poetry and about Marlene. She can probably still remember some of those. I mean, don't share it with anyone. I think you know what I'm trying to say here, that if you love someone, you're going to express it in a poetic sort of way. It's what's so beautiful about this music that we shared together this morning, the beautiful words. It just really touch our hearts and, you know, it kind of makes our heartstrings resonate, lifting up worship to the Lord. It's what I believe we hear in this poem of David here, this poem of praise that was lifted up before God for all that he had done for him. As a man, don't be ashamed to express that love for your family, that love for your dad, that love for your children. And to let them see that emotion, to not keep it bottled up as we are so prone to do as men. So I want to just encourage our dads here this morning to have that heroic faith that we see in David. And God will bless you for it. God will build a house for you as he did for David.